This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It is Hour 5, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Sans is in the house. He's getting set for the Rangers pregame, which is coming up here in just a couple of hours. You'll get an abbreviated Get Right coming up at 7. Time now to go around the bases, brought to you by Uber Eats. And here's Woolchuck.
It is the debut of Kamar Rocker. It is happening tonight in Seattle against the M's, and we're pumped about it. He's rocking number 80. Now, Jared Sandler is in the building. And I did see a tweet from Jared that he is the first player in Rangers history to wear number 80. And he's the first player since, 2019? A Minnesota Twin? Ryan Eads?
No, so there wasn't a player who had worn 80 in Major League Baseball until 2019. There have been a handful of guys since. The Rangers have had coaches who have worn 80. They've had guys in spring training wearing 80, but no one has ever, as a player, worn 80 in a major league game.
I love it. I think the 80 is going to look great on him. I'm really, really excited for this tonight. And
Scorigami.
Me think so?
No, I mean, that's just with the 80 jersey.
I don't think we track Scorigami with baseball, but there's got to be some scores that have never happened before in baseball. We should do some Scorigami in MLB.
That'd be a good idea. That'd be a good idea.
But I don't know, what should we send? You think, is a realistic K's tonight? 5.5, 7.5? I think he can get 8 K's tonight.
That's
taking
the over
for Kamar Rocker. Should we make bets? Should we play show bets on this?
I already have to do this nitro gummy tomorrow. About this time tomorrow,
I
might
be
dead.
Like whoever gets the closest is baseball guy of the day. We don't have to do a payoff on it.
Strikeouts.
Yeah. Over under on the punchouts. What's the line?
I mean, I don't know.
Or would y'all just give a number?
What do you think is a fair one? 5.5.
Well, I think you got to plan on him going no more than 5 innings.
Okay.
So you got to factor that in. I'm trying to see what Vegas has the line as. I'll let you know. But I would say
I'm gonna go 4.
I would say 5.5 is probably a good line.
Okay. Because, the dude throws heat. And, I'm going over 5.5. I think he's good. And this is a lineup that you can go ahead and strike out. This isn't a Mariners lineup that's really been amazing.
I'm going to go the under on this one. Just because of the 5 innings.
Okay. Gavin, over or under 5.5?
Over. Brisket sandwich bet.
Let's go. Perfect. What? Yep. Brian, you're buying us all brisket sandwiches when he gets 6 Ks or more tomorrow. I'm excited for this. This is going
to
be awesome.
The way that Dawson buys them, that's a couple $100 deal.
Well, don't worry. Carter will eat most of them. It's not a big deal.
I'm trying to see where I saw this earlier. I can't find it anymore, but that was a good call by Wolchuk there. I believe Kamar Rocker now makes this. Oh, maybe it was Dave Raymond who tweeted it out.
Dave?
Yeah, our guy Dave Raymond. Talking about Kamar Rocker being the 316th starting pitcher in Ranger history, which is the most in the MLB since they arrived in Arlington in 1972. Make it the 317th starting pitcher.
Or the Washington of quarterbacks.
Or Cleveland?
Cleveland, something like that.
The line in Vegas is 4.5, but it's 4.5 at -200. That's a ton of juice. It kind of suggests they don't feel great about 5.5, but so you're probably looking at 4.5, 5.5 as a steady line. So I think that's fair, and I think these bets play. They're live. They're active.
They're live. We're active, boys.
Oh, we're getting active.
We got sandwiches on the line.
Like Tristan
for
Hill, we're getting active today,
Let's
Coach.
Go. Yeah. I'm ready. 877-881-1053 going over under 5.5 Ks for Kamar Rocker.
Let me make sure the bet. So the loser, how does this work? How's the brisket sandwiches?
Loser buys brisket sandwiches.
Okay, so am I the only one who went under?
You're really the only one that went under.
Yeah, what a hater.
So, if it goes under, you guys are buying me brisket sandwiches.
Yeah, you're getting
right?
a lot of brisket sandwiches if it goes under.
Okay.
Put it this way. Yep, you're going a lot. Cool. We got the Shohei Ohtani chase for history. This is actually really fun. He's going for 50 and 50. He hit his 47th homer. He stole his 48th base last night as the Dodgers were able to beat the Cubbies. He's got 16 games left to get to 50-50. I think he's getting it. And I can't wait. This is pretty unprecedented. I think it's amazing. 48 stolen bases are by far the most of Ohtani's career. He had never stolen more than 26 bases in a season prior to 2024. I think a lot of that has to do with obviously splitting time and pitching as well, probably, I would assume.
Maybe so.
Getting to the new team, probably more aggressive.
Maybe.
Manager.
Yeah, that could play a part.
I asked Jared about that. Remember, I asked you that question. I'm like, is this so impressive? And you're like, dude, he's fast. And then I started watching him, and I'm like, oh, yeah.
But if he gets back into the starting rotation next year, do we think we don't see these numbers again?
Changes the dynamic. And you see a lot of guys, as they get older, stop running. I know this is going to be a tough thing to process because I know the knock is that, well, baseball players stand around a lot. They're not, you know, the conditioning, the cardio isn't like hockey or basketball or football, but they'll all tell you that, you know, the more you try to steal bases, the more taxing it is on your body. And while they're not doing sprints for 48 minutes or whatever, standing around for 2.5 hours and all the work that they do every single day, right? They don't have off days as much as other sports. It wears. And so, like, even Marcus Semien, for instance, you know, look at his stolen base attempts this year, like 7 or 8 attempts. And so as guys get older, they stop running as much. And I'd imagine when Otani gets back into pitching, he won't run nearly this much.
Got a good text from Tovash. Actually, he's going over 7 innings pitched tonight for Kamar Rocker. But
yeah, that's not going to happen. I'll tell you that.
469 says number 80. I can only think of Tony Hill. Who's the best 80 of all time? Like Martellus Bennett also wore 80.
Jerry Rice,
probably the best 80 of all time. Yeah, I mean, I'd give a vote for Wayne Corbett.
Alvin Harper.
Alvin
Harper was my guy, bro.
Good pull. But yeah, Jerry Rice probably is the GOAT of the 80s. He probably is.
Give me Andre Johnson.
I mean, when Jerry Rice left the Niners, a lot of people said he was the greatest football player ever.
I think a lot of people still say that.
Do you guys feel that way?
No.
Jerry Rice.
You said no. Did you say no as
best
well?
Best football player ever, yeah. Jerry Rice. I'd probably say no as well.
Gavin?
I just have a hard time. I think quarterback's the most difficult thing to do by far. So whoever the top quarterback is would be my top player.
Broadus?
Oof.
Darren Woodson, right?
Darren Woodson's my favorite. Me and Tom Brady. I mean, I just think about him in the salary cap era and what he was able to do. And for as long as he did, I would. Barry Sanders was one of the best players I've ever seen in my life. And so was Luke Kuechly, by the way.
Is Jerry, like, unquestionably the best receiver? Can we have a conversation about that?
See, I was going to ask, like, okay, is he one of the only positions where there's no conversation of who's the best? Because I think there isn't. I think he is definitely the best receiver. Two for me is Randy Moss.
I have it the same. Randy and Jerry.
I think you could definitely say most accomplished receiver statistically, the top.
God,
there's a debate
Larry
to be
Fitzgerald
had.
Fitzgerald was so good.
I mean, he was not super fast. He played in the perfect system to get him the ball on the run in space.
They did it with multiple teams. Like, well, I remember him with the Seattle Seahawks the end of his career, and he's still out there for over 100 yards.
Yeah, dude. I mean, he was playing at a really impressive rate. Even while being extremely old.
Like, there was a Raider years Monday night fantastic. Game against the Cowboys when, like, Julius Jones went off and they won. And here's freaking, like, 43-year-old Jerry Rice still with 10 catches, 100 yards. It was insane. I'm like,
with the braids, Jerry.
Yeah, I'm like, how is he still doing this? This is bizarre. What are you doing right now? This is insane.
Yeah, at 40 years old, he had 1,200 yards.
And four braids on his head.
Yeah. 7 touchdowns. He at 39, he had almost 1,200 yards and 9 touchdowns. I mean, it's just ridiculous. He had, 1,500, 1,000, 1,300, 1,400, 1,500, 1,200, 1,200, 1,500, 1,500, 1,800, 1,200. That's all in a row.
That's incredible.
I didn't know his nickname was Flash 80.
I didn't know that either because I don't think about him as like a flash guy, you know, like kind of cerebral, just technician, Amari Cooper-esque in a way, you know, but not like, oh my gosh, speed demon. Like I think about Randy Moss, like, dude, this dude's taking the top off the defense. You know, he's a straight line speed dude.
Who do you think has the most receptions all time in playoffs?
Travis Kelce.
Yeah, Travis Kelce.
Okay, yeah, you guys knew that. Good for you guys.
Thank you.
165 receptions in playoff games. Jerry Rice had 151.
It's amazing.
Julian Edelman had 118, by the way.
Best Jewish receiver of all time.
He certainly is. He might be the best Jewish football player.
Sid Luckman.
I think Sid. I didn't get to see Sid play.
Sid Gilman, Sid Luckman. Sid Luckman, I think, yeah.
Shout out to you, Edelman. We love you. Okay, I got some audio for you.
Win championships.
Blake Snell has a no-hitter with the Giants. Logan Webb goes on Talking Baseball with Chris Rose, and they're asking, okay, like, so what'd you guys do to celebrate that night? And, well, here was Logan Webb's response.
We hung out at the hotel. I think we had a day game the next day, so I think one of us had a kind of like a suite to hang out in. We hung out, and Blake didn't even hang out. I think he was playing 2K or something.
So let me get this straight. He throws a no-hitter after he had never seen the 9th inning before in his career. You all are celebrating, and he's playing video games?
Yeah, that's Blake. He beats to his own drum. He likes getting on there and talking to the the kids that he beats in 2K and MLB The Show. That's just him. I mean, it's not like it was the whole team hanging out in the room. There was like six or seven of us. It wasn't 25 guys hanging out. Yeah, I mean, nobody cared if he wasn't there or not.
That would have been a lot of guys just hanging out.
He is obsessed with those video games. You know, he won that that baseball video game tournament they had during COVID.
Oh, my gosh. You're right. I forgot Gallo was in that one.
I thought Joey Gallo was really good in that.
Gallo
right?
beat him in the first game, but Snell, obsessed with it, came back and beat him in the final.
But I love that. Like, Blake Snell, fresh off a no-hitter, is just in his hotel room playing 2K and just MFing little kids, eating their ass.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is going on? But that's awesome. We had Francisco Lindor. My gosh. Maybe one of the best turnarounds in MLB. Like, Francisco Lindor kind of faded off a little bit. All of a sudden, now he's back in the MVP conversation. Shohei Ohtani's going to get that. Lindor's not going to get that. But it's amazing. The Mets now are back in the wild card.
You can make there's a good argument to be made for Lindor if you really lean into what the Mets would be without him.
Okay.
But, yeah, he's not going to get it. But he is, I think, back on a Hall of Fame type track,
right?
With, like, this year,
he leaves Cleveland, it's like, oh my gosh, this dude's the next best shortstop in the game. He's incredible. And then things didn't really seem to be panning out for him, and it was okay as this guy kind of lost a little bit. Now he's back. He ends up getting the home run to ruin the no-no from Francis last night in the Blue Jays. Mets get the win, but it's incredible. I know Baskey was talking about it was his son's favorite player, Francisco Lindor. Now he's looking back up and thinking, damn, this dude is quite the badass again. But the Blue Jays have had a bunch of no-hitters broken up in the ninth. I did not know the history of this. It is pretty substantial.
Well, it's Francis' second one this year,
Second one, yeah.
August 24th was the last one. Now we're in September 12th. I mean, this is two in the span of, what, 3 weeks? That good math?
You're doing the math, right? Yeah.
I'm trying. I mean, I've always got
to. You said I need Lindor, to ask for the MVP. Does the batting average matter here in this? And that's 268? Does that matter?
No, not as much. And then you look at just all the.
He scored 102 runs. He's got 85 RBIs if these things are up to date.
But then elite defense. That's the thing that works. You know, he's playing a premium position.
Yeah. A 214 thinks Michelle's the best receiver of all time.
Wow. Might be the text of the day.
Ooh, that's my Theo right there. That's pretty damn good. Better get rid of Theo.
That is pretty damn good. James Paxton set to retire after the 2024 season. He's calling it quits
after
an 11-year career.
Big Maple. God, I knew it was something like
Big
that.
Big Hickory.
Yeah, I knew it was something
be
like
Andrew Chafin's nickname. Yeah.
But I knew it was something like Maple, Hickory. I knew it was some type
he's Canadian.
Okay.
That's why.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
I was trying to be a baseball guy the day I missed out on that
one. Dude, Big Maple is one of the coolest nicknames ever.
It is a cool nickname. Would have been like a perennial Cy Young candidate for about 4 or 5 years if he could stay healthy.
Always banged up.
Yeah, I was never really able.
Last thing, I've had this for a couple of weeks, so I just want to burn it, but there was an MLB fan that got knocked out cold.
That's weed.
We're about to burn one together?
We're burning one here. It's in the 6 o'clock hour. All hell is breaking loose. Let's do it, boys. Somebody hits a home run in an MLB game. I think it was Trevor Larnach. And it ends up, you have a fan who's trying to catch it. They end up getting pegged right in the head. Like, boom, bang.
Oh, I remember this dude.
KO.
Yeah.
Knocks him out.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never actually seen that at a baseball game. Like, I've seen the Fever Pitch movie. Of course, Drew Barrymore
gets
hit with the foul ball.
She took a
LSU heater. The LSU fan. Remember, he took one to the forehead. Yeah. Had a big old knot on his
that
head.
That was a girl.
But no KOs.
I thought it was a guy.
This is like KO ball game.
Okay, there was a guy, yes. But then there was also a female LSU, like, media girl that got just, she had a lot of real estate though. So that was,
she had a six head.
You can see that.
Is this
coming.
A Kayshon Boutte situation?
No. This is just a lady media member a few years ago for LSU. She took one right there in the
dome.
Forehead. Yeah.
Right in the dome.
Let's find out her name because we like girls with big foreheads around here.
We do. Yeah.
We do.
We say it respectfully.
Here's Around the Bases, brought to you by Uber Eats.
Thank you, Woolchuck. An outstanding job once again. Captaining the ship, our baseball expert, longtime Rangers pre- and post-game show host, that's Zach Woolchuck.
Baseball guy of the day.
Okay.
That's me.
Sports hodgepodge next, though, Chief. What you got? We got a little throwback Thursday story of the day featuring Jerry Jones and DeMarcus Ware, plus a stat of the day and a new campaign for guys like Woolchuck next year in the nation. Welcome back, Nation. Hope you're having a great day. It's Kamar Rocker night here on The Fan. 8:37, I think, is the first pitch. Pregame's coming up at 8 o'clock as we're all going to watch. I'm cutting soccer practice early to make sure I get home. I have over 5.5 strikeouts
Hell yeah, we got Brisket Sandoz on the
Brisket
line.
Brisket Sandoz on the line.
I'm an under.
Wow.
We know you're a bottom.
Can't believe that you.
Huh.
And you doubt the Rangers so much, Brian. I thought you liked these guys.
I'm going to be different on this. I'm going for the Sandoz.
Okay. All right. Well, appreciate you playing along there. We'll have Sandoz one way or another tomorrow, along with a little Friday, what you drinking and what you thinking. Segments brought to you by the Frankels.
Really expensive.
Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. And now let's go to the chief for a sports hodgepodge.
Double bet payoff Friday tomorrow.
You have to remind
G-Bag
us.
Nation.
Turn your mic off.
Don't shoot the messenger on this one. Brought us holding up the 9 million Scoville Nitro gummy that I
could
consumed
ruin,
a couple of years ago.
Could be the last broadcast to ever do.
Yeah, this is as hazardous a payoff Friday as we've ever had, and that Nitro gummy is going to... It's gonna tear you up. Now, it's really just a mouth pain and a jowl, like right there in my jaws. Yeah. It's really, really painful. And the thing about it that'll surprise you, Broadus, is just the sturdiness of that gummy bear. It's not as gummy of a bear as you would like, what? Where you can just chew, 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 bam. There's like a...
What are we doing?
It's a little bit hard. My point is you can't just chew it really fast and swallow it. It takes a second to get that thing chewed up.
No, give it that hot.
Oh, it's going to get in my teeth and stuff?
You might get a little piece stuck in your back tooth there in one of those molars or whatever.
Sounds like he's describing a bit of honey. You know,
those are awful.
Right?
Whoever invented that needs to be punished.
Pull your teeth out.
Then Walchuk, of course, has the pickled pig feet that he's.
I got
to
pick that up.
I don't know which one I would rather do.
Please, if you can.
Like, if I had to pick between these two,
I'll pick it up.
I know I could finish a little nitro, although I might, you know, be in a lot of pain.
20 minutes of pain.
I think I would have to be a coward if I tried a Walchuk's. And I've almost bowed out of two different challenges. As a matter of fact, I've said the words on the air, I can't do this. And then I have. I think the pig's feet might cripple me.
Okay. I think that Walchuk and I are kind of setting an example here of like going full on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if you put, I'm just going to put something around my neck and do the show all day. That ain't happening anymore. You're not wearing
those were truck nuts.
You want to get, okay. So it's nothing to get Cincinnati bow tied on the air. Is that what you're saying? Because that's pretty much what it feels like. All right. And you're talking to somebody who's done the little nitro gummy. Okay.
I'm aiming them right at you there, Chief.
Okay.
I'm aiming right at you because
I don't think there's anybody who's been more in on the bet payoffs than me. All right. I'm speedoing. I'm back waxing.
Hey,
you name it. I've done it. I'm sacrificing myself for the show.
This is no time for bona fides and resumes. It's props to you guys.
Nobody's got the better resume.
Where did you get
resume
that?
Of the day.
This guy's. This guy.
No,
French,
go back.
I think.
What was this? What was that?
You're over here rouletting mayo Oreos.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to eat a big hamburger.
The
nitro gummy, that's big time.
Thank you.
The rest of them, weak.
The rest of them, weak. Yeah. That shows how Walchuk supports.
I hope there's some
poor scouting as it pertains to bet payoffs.
I will say
Walchuk.
This. Dawson's hair.
Man,
that Cooper BB's
Dawson's
looking good right
hair
now.
That one holiday season looked pretty bad when he did when the look like I had. The,
yeah. Never
that
goes cool.
That was a bad look.
That was my best one.
That was a bad look,
Dawson. That was a good one.
That was serious.
Dude, I got home and Abby started crying. I gave myself Broadus' haircut.
It was during the holiday season. I'm like, man,
it was cold there for a couple of days.
He's
man.
Be hanging around the family, and with that look, I'm like, God, dang, I felt bad for you a little bit.
That's wild. All right, let's get into the hodgepodge here. Got some football things to bring you, but I do want to start with just a couple of basketball nuggets, the first of which, Jason Tatum was on the Jimmy Fallon late night show and predicted a rematch playing Dallas in the finals
there
again.
There we go.
So
okay.
Take that for what there you we will.
Go. He's a smart man.
Jason a lot of Tatum. Confidence. The betting odds of the Mavs are really, really encouraging. Like 4-1, 5-1?
Yeah, 4-1, I think I said to you.
My
yesterday,
goodness.
Yeah.
That is low odds.
Let's go, Mavs.
But I think it's there. You have the wings, the guards, and the bigs. There's not a better constructed basketball team top to bottom.
Yeah, health, and then the Klay Thompson
situation
there. Like, hopefully he hasn't just completely bottomed out and lost athleticism. I don't think that's the case, but it's certainly on the chart of things that are possible. Now, I also have this from B-Ball Forever bringing us today's stat of the day. OnlyFans creators made more last year than every single NBA salary combined. Jeez. So all the, I mean,
billions, how many billions?
$6.6 billion worth of OnlyFans money was made for content creators in 2023. The 2023 NBA combined payroll was $4.9 billion. So
sex sells.
That's that was a little surprising to see. Guys like Broadus, man.
Hard.
Just running up these numbers for the content creators.
I think that like matches like BlackRock's total revenue for the year, which is like the number one wealth manager, you know, in charge of all the 401ks and stock market stuff.
Yeah. Whoever created the OnlyFans idea is a is a brilliant, brilliant man.
He has,
I mean, the way things can scale in the digital world, you know, where all of a sudden, if your app goes viral around the world, a billion people could hypothetically use it if they just give you a penny each.
It's crazy.
You got 10 mil.
Well, everybody, it seems like the country is late to my hating on Kirk Herbstreit's dog party, but they have arrived in huge, huge waves, and I might be actually making a bit of a turn on this one.
Let's go.
Now, the Kirk Herbstreit dog, Ben, the Golden Retriever, has been even more on television screens over the course of the start of this football season than last year.
Loving it, aren't
and,
you?
And now people are joining in on the why is your dog so important? Why is he doing color analysis on football games and stuff? And so Al Michaels, who of course is in the booth with Kirk tonight for Prime's NFL matchup, you have Al being asked about the dog, and he says, you know what, I'm not an animal person, but Kirk brought this dog last year, and all of a sudden I found myself in love with the dog. Golden Retriever, beautifully behaved. He says Kirk is able to bring him around and he doesn't even have him on a leash. Finds the dog to be hysterical, and he says he's never had a pet in his life or a vegetable, but he'll have a pet before he has a vegetable. So
okay, this is made up lines.
Al Michaels is coming around on pets because of this dog.
I think you added that little last bit to the story.
I'm dead serious about this.
He did not say vegetables and the dog.
I swear he did. That's part of the reason why I brought it to the table, because I thought that was a great line by Al Michaels, a noted non-vegetable eating gentleman. Pointing that out, that he's also not a pet guy, but thanks to this Golden Retriever, he is maybe more open now than ever to having a pet, still as close as ever as it pertains to taking a bite of a carrot. So I thought that was just a nice way to put it for him. And the thing we also learned about Kirk Herbstreit's dog, Ben, is that this is kind of like a make-a-wish thing, because he's dealing with some form of cancer and stuff. So that changes the outlook on you know, where this dog gets to go, and every, you know,
kind of feeling like a Richard now, aren't you?
The dog, maybe not as much cancer as I should be, but I am at least turning a leaf on this and kind of going, I don't hate on this dog deal as much as the world is right now. He's getting it from all angles.
The words "I have cancer" can open up a lot of doors, I feel like, for you. You know, totally. Not any doors that you want to be opening, but if you're there. You know, and in that vein, Chief, I wanted to confide in you that I've been thinking about bringing my dog up here. Not for cancer relief, but, you know, it just make me a little bit happier. Just I don't know why you'd be against my happiness.
Good studio vibes up in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
he's a non-barking pug, which is a bonus.
Okay.
Yeah.
A pug?
He can usually hold it for 4 hours or so. Little cute. So we should be okay.
All right. I do like those pug faces. They're pretty amazing. All right. Here's a great story. Throwback Thursday story of the day. And it comes via OCU Manura, pass rusher for the Giants, part of that Super Bowl champion team that beat the undefeated Patriots.
Played at Troy, same college as DeMarcus Ware.
Good buddies with DeMarcus Ware. He has the same financial advisor, if you will, as DeMarcus Ware. Listen to him tell the story about DeMarcus Ware getting his highest paid defensive player in the sport contract from Jerry Jones and the Cowboys years ago, and the conversation he had on the phone with his financial advisor that he also shared with DeMarcus Ware.
Me and DeMarcus also have the same financial advisor, Chris Cole. I call Chris Cole, and Chris picks up the phone, and there's like music in the background. I'm like, Chris doesn't party.
Yeah, you like.
So I'm like, what is this? I'm like, you're at a party? He's like, yeah, I'm at a party with DeMarcus. Jerry Jones just made DeMarcus Ware the highest paid defensive player in the league. And after that, he threw him a party to celebrate
for taking his money.
At this time, I'm going through a contract dispute. He made this guy the highest paid player in football and threw him a party.
Celebrate. Here you go.
if anybody says a negative word about Jerry Jones, you and I are going to have a problem. Who does that?
That's pretty amazing. And I don't know if Jerry's still doing that. I don't know if he's made a habit of that over the years or if this was just a one-off. We know that smile and incredible personality of DeMarcus Ware could make you do things that maybe you never thought you would. But Jerry's like, hey.
That way Club's kind of a fun place to go.
Here's the biggest contract in football history for a defensive player, and you are also, we're going to throw you a big-time party because of it.
Party.
That's awesome.
That is.
And OC's going, dude, I'm trying to get a contract from the Maras with the Giants here, and I'm seeing DeMarcus Ware not only getting the record-setting deal, but also having a party thrown for him by the people that are giving him that contract. Pretty incredible.
I mean, I can count on, I think, one hand the number of players that have been through here in my time covering the Cowboys that didn't like Jerry, you know?
Right. Right.
Even some of the crazy things that he said, the positions that he's taken, and maybe T.O.
Yeah. I wonder if T.O.
That ended poorly.
Yeah. I wonder if that was one. And I was just thinking of guys that might have, you know, maybe now that he's in the Hall of Fame and everything's okay, maybe he's softened that a little bit. But I wonder on the way out if he has any good thoughts for Jerry.
Well, you know, Jay Ratliff didn't think the most of Jerry by the time that he left. But,
sure.
I mean, Jerry had so much respect for D-Ware. When D-Ware left and ultimately went to the Broncos, I remember Jerry saying, we didn't even want to give him a contract offer because it would be disrespectful to what he's done for the organization. Like, what we have to give at this point, it was another one of those cap consolidating type of years. Mm-hmm. They didn't even want to put something on paper that would have been, you know, disrespectful to their guy. I was just happy he was able to go get a Super Bowl.
I saw from Nate Tice, we talked about earlier Marvin Harrison Jr. and Kyler Murray in that weird situation.
Yeah.
Week one, the rookie wideout only getting two targets his way. One was dropped, and the one that he caught went for 4 yards, and that was it. He had weird tracking numbers as it pertains to his speed, like extremely low, under 17 miles per hour was his max speed for the day, which is really, really
not good.
Did he
do a story
good.
Like last draft season, like there are some people that think Marvin Harrison isn't going to be that good? Was it speed? Was speed the thing?
Speed. He didn't look super fast on tape. I mean, he was a guy that just, he was a route. It was kind of like we were just talking about earlier, like with the Jerry Rice thing. Like
very
he's
smooth.
A route technician. He's very smooth. He's a long strider. There were times where effort, you know, with him, it seemed like maybe he was a little checked out. But no, he was pretty much a unanimous can't miss wide receiver prospect.
Yeah, and stuff.
I home ended up and put Neighbors ahead of him.
Right, because of how great. I mean, it's just.
I mean, that, just because
just
I knew more,
Neighbors was
I knew,
incredible.
I knew
alone.
More about Neighbors than I did Harrison, but. And you know, you're trying not to. But Harrison's a hell of a football player. I was watching, you know, Chief, you were talking about maybe the little lack of the speed or the effort. I kind of was looking at the tape just a little bit ago, you know, a couple hours ago, and it's like, yeah, it was kind of not. He
but
wouldn't
yes,
come flying off the ball like you thought he would.
For Marvin Harrison Jr. over the weekend?
Yeah, I was just kind of like.
And he didn't run the 40s, right? He didn't run it in Ohio
workouts.
State, which is a fast track, and he didn't run at the combine. So he might have been trying to hide the speed.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the concern I thought of.
Yeah, and the speed might have been the concern, yes.
Yeah. Well, Nate Tice of Yahoo is trying to, you know, make these Cardinals fans calm down a little bit because he says the Bills' defensive game plan was basically to try and take Harrison out of the game. They clouded his side.
Yeah,
40% of the time.
Sure did.
So, which is actually the third highest in the NFL for week one. So he had the corner underneath and the safety over top him so that you can really try and limit how much he can hurt you. So who knows where this goes from here? And the Kyler comments about saying it's not my job to get him the ball was pretty funny, and we'll see how that manifests itself. But Nate Tice giving Cardinals fans reason for hope here. Hey, the Bills were trying to take him out of the game. And, you know, for guys that are in year 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, more established quarterbacks might say, hey, I don't care if you're doubled.
Yeah.
You know, we're still just going to get you the ball.
Yeah.
But this was his first game. So the speed stuff
off,
is weird, though.
Just coming off the ball, it's almost like usually these guys have a burst. And he's just such a tall, long guy that it just didn't look like, you know, I'm like, is he really running here? You know, you mentioned it. I was like, okay, I can see what's going on here.
Okay, a little surprise for you guys, but right now, in the midst of a sports hodgepodge, we pivot to this. Yes, we are. Two paranoia. Do you have it? A guy to my left might.
What does that mean?
There is a new term
It's poo paranoia.
That's right. The health department is starting a new campaign. Queensland Health has started a new campaign, which is, of course, it's okay to poo at work.
No.
Apparently, this is a bit of an epidemic, and there have been some health-related issues that have been involved with people with poo paranoia as it pertains to the workplace, and that can be uncomfortable. I've worked in places where it was extremely uncomfortable. I've had to overcome that a little bit, but apparently it is called parcopresis.
Okay.
Is the actual term for what Walchuk suffers from, which is the public tooing, especially at work. You know, there's a little bit more intimacy involved depending on the location of the bathroom, how many of the opposite sex members work in your office to where, like, oh my gosh, you just tore it up. Is it just a one bathroom for all? I've worked at a place where I had like over half the staff was women and all we had was a one stall, one toilet bathroom.
Yeah.
And so
you had to share with the ladies in the office? Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely not. What?
It was bad.
You got to be flushed before you get there.
My last job before I got into radio was like that. I worked in a call center of like 20 people. And it was, you know.
That's when you were Jim McCormick.
Just one restroom.
Jim McCormick?
This was post Jim McCormick. I was working in the mortgage industry at the time. I'd moved on from the fishing and hunting news. But there was this girl that we worked with that would come back from the restroom and say, oh my gosh, that is so nasty. Who is pooing in here? You know, she's like, we only have one restroom. You got to do that before or after work. And I was like, you know what? She's actually got a pretty good point here.
Yeah.
She has a damn good point.
Poo at work. Oh, I go here all the time now. I just use the women's.
Right. You got to wait till later in the afternoon.
No, I'll go while we're prepping for the show. I don't care.
The okay. You know she's still here, right? She leaves at 3.
Yeah, that's wild.
I haven't seen her in God knows how long.
Okay.
That's buck wild. She's seen you.
Know, it's 2024. What are you going to say? I want to use the women's bathroom, damn it.
As long as you can keep
it is cleaner, man.
It's so much better. Nobody uses
it. It's so much cleaner. Gosh, it's cleaner.
Yeah, hiding of the shoes, because that's how you get ID'd quickly. Yeah. Oh, I know who's under there.
It's the hiding of the shoes, or when you got like people that want to look through the crack. Who's that in there? Wait. Lucius, bro. What up, LA? They throw like wet napkins while you're on the toilet. Nah, come on.
The bathroom grenades were always a fun one. You wet up the paper towels, lob them into the stall where you know your buddy's in there or whatever.
Something I didn't go at school, that's for sure.
Some people have it to where they're so paranoid that they will actually bring like a backup pair of poo shoes.
Yep. There we go. Okay.
You know, you're pulling a fast one on them.
Yeah.
When I first started working here, I did that.
Really?
Yeah, some flats, bro.
Yeah.
Nice little vans. Real talk.
Yeah, I like that. I
really did.
Hiding in plain sight.
I don't know these people.
I don't know y'all.
Don't judge me. You don't know my situation.
I'd rather work with people, though, that had poo paranoia than people that were, like, super, like, non-concerned about that, you know?
Yeah.
A little too confident as it pertains to. And we got some of those guys up here.
Especially the guys with the massive, like, blowback functionality. I don't know how they just paint the inside of that bowl.
Oh, yeah.
But if I'm doing that, there's no way I'm going anywhere than my own house.
Yeah. Right. Some of the... Well, when I worked at the apartment complex that had this nightmare bathroom situation, my apartment was, like, 5 minutes down the road. When I first started working there, I would drive home. Like, hey, I gotta go. Let me go do that. Yeah. After about a year working there, I was like, forget this, dude. I'm just gonna own
I'll tell you what, Monty Kiffin used to, he didn't care. He'd go into like the scouts bathroom and you could hear it. And it was hit the back every single time. And we'd all go, oh, Monty's using the men's room.
Man.
I mean,
old men restroom habits is just a whole other topic. We got to run.
Does it usually take you guys a long time? I'm sorry. Because can't do it at work because you don't have the time doing radio.
Quick.
Our commercial breaks are 5 minutes the most. I can't get one done in 5 minutes, bro.
Yeah.
Come on over to Fiber Thin Life, bro. I got some extras in my backpack.
It's a 30-minute session.
I drink a lot of water. Slides out, but I got to sit there and relax. Smoke my vape.
We got to run, Nation. When we return, we'll have a little crosstalk with the Fan After Dark. Fred's in the house. So is somebody else. And we'll CA in the house. Fred and CA next in the Nation. Thank you, Lucius. G-Bag Nation, we are now set to hand off the broadcast baton to the Fan After Dark in tonight's configuration, Fred and CA. And gentlemen, good evening. How the heck are you?
Hey. Final 100 meters, man. 1 hour. Blink and you miss it.
Oh, look at this.
I got a beef with you guys because I only heard a couple of you guys say this. You really think that the Shannon Sharp thing was an accident?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm saying yes.
Really? All three? Four. You guys are four of the smartest guys I know. And you guys really don't think.
No, don't do that.
That was on purpose.
I generally don't.
I don't think you would want to have the outside world listening in on that.
If you've been called gay, you might.
But I don't think.
Wouldn't you have like a better showing? He was slow stroking.
It was all nice and slow.
That's the beauty of it.
You wanted to be crazy in there, like, oh my God, Shannon is tearing it up.
Look, it's so that you don't have to overthink it. I mean, look, hey, he's had the internet question his sexuality before.
Yeah, they said he was zesty.
Zesty, right? Zesty. What better way to kill the zesty rumors than with one of the most unzesty sex tapes? Just a bunch of sounds.
But do you possibly cost your empire?
What? Really? From some sex sounds?
You just don't know.
You never know.
In other words, you don't know the reaction.
It's piqued my curiosity to answer your question, Fred.
Why do you walk in here being logical?
Because we're men. That's why.
I just didn't question his sexuality. But I guess if it was that, if he really thought that so many people did.
Yeah, you just pop up with a girl. You would just be caught out of date with a girl.
It's a lot easier to quell them when you hear girl sounds.
Just go ahead and make an audio sex tape, put it on Instagram live. That way nobody call me gay no more.
There's that.
That is so good.
And Lucius had to laugh at it.
That's so good.
How do you have a sex tape where you're behind the door? You just happened to, I mean, what? One of his minions just happened to be running around? Oh, I hear it. Let's see if everybody else wants to hear it too. No.
The phone wasn't moving either.
So you've never accidentally done anything with your phone while it's in your pocket, or you took your clothes off and accidentally hit a button?
If I'm going to do that, no. I think we're all aware of our facilities and everything else that may
I black out, to be honest with you. What's coming up on the show tonight, though, gentlemen?
I mean, it's an hour, right? So, I mean, we got Jared on for a segment. We're going to do a little crosstalk. We're going to do a little Thursday night football talk. And, of course,
Cowboys.
On Rocker. We'll talk a little Rocker.
Yeah,
Rocker
debut.
Exciting. You know, who doesn't like Phenomenal Feet besides Rex Ryan?
That's right. Yeah.
So,
speaking of Phenomenal Feet, I try to get these guys fired up about trading for a different running back. I think the Cowboys have everything, but no good running back.
Got to get a feature back.
We got to get a feature back. Go
Zeke
get some star
situation.
Power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you do need another playmaker with some speed, because if there's one gripe I do have, and CA and I talked about this last night, is outside of CeeDee Lamb, I don't know, God forbid, if one of these, you know, the Lions, the 49ers, the Eagles decide, you know what, let's make somebody else beat us. Who is that guy? And I'm just nervous that right now with that Cowboys team, I mean, if we're putting it all on Brandon Cooks.
I think it's Jake Ferguson.
Ferguson's in there too.
We'll see how this bone bruise heals.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I think you need a running back. I think you do need to go get you another receiver.
2 years ago, Niners offense, middle of the road. Get McCaffrey. Number one efficiency.
Game changer. You know what? I don't disagree with you on that.
Here we go.
I got a bone to pick with you tomorrow.
Okay. I can't wait.
Let's go.
220, you're going to be picking over a pig feet bone.
You know what? I'm going to save it for Monday then.
Okay. Cannot wait tomorrow. Double bet payoff. Pickled pig's feet for Woolchuck at 220. Brought us with a little nitro gummy at 520. Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup over there, Master Control. Thanks to Woolchuck and Chia Follow and Brought Us. And I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the Nation. At ease.